Pickaxe.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
Hello and welcome to the podcast of this week's One Life Left radio show. I'm Simon Byron.
I am Steve Curran.
Steve, you can help me here. So we record on a Monday lunchtime. I don't take lunch. I do this as you know, in my own time. Mm-hmm. It means I don't get to make lunch. Now, I have been fasting on and off. made myself quite ill, I think, last week. I started getting tunnel vision. Is that normal?
I don't know.
I wasn't. No, okay. I couldn't read. Couldn't read words on the screen.
That sounds bad.
It's difficult to Google for your, you know, for your symptoms when you can't read. but then I ate something and I felt a lot better. So anyway, I have to prepare food quite quickly. Mm. Got some pot noodles.
Oh,
or some or posh ones.
Mm-hmm.
Ones that don't say pot noodle on them.
I've had those. Those are vegetarian, I think.
No,
chili chicken. That's
chili chicken ramen flavor Kabuto noodles.
See if you can find the vegetarian logo on it. Or, I reckon those
soba.
A lot of these things, they're not actual chicken. It's just the impression of chicken. Anyway,
chicken impression. Well, I just wonder which one I should make ready.
I should
heat up.
I reckon Kabuto.
Okay, I'm going to do that now. Yeah, so we're hastily ended show that, wasn't it?
Very
weird.
Yeah, just came out of nowhere. We had a lot to talk about, didn't we?
Look at that.
Yeah, that's noodles.
Just a disc of noodles.
Yeah, right, of course. Okay. Have you never...
I haven't had this particular brand before. I did have some pot noodles last
It's the same thing. When you open a pot noodle, you get a weird bolus of noodles, don't you? Anyway.
Start those off. Lots to pack in, actually, this week. Mm. And we navigated quite a tricky week in the games industry.
Oh, yeah, really. Really has been, and I think we could do a whole show just talking about that and all the things that are broken, but I don't think it would be a very positive show. It might be a cathartic show for both of us, but it wouldn't be an uplifting one. There's lots of happy moments in the show as well. So
the thing that's been annoying me this week is that all the outlets that are reporting on... I'm not sure if you can hear the pot noodle filling up there. All the outlets that are reporting on the layoffs and the cuts that are relentless and unfair, do you think they should stop covering those companies' future games?
No, I don't think they should do that. But I do think their reporting on this stuff should be less... I said this week, that I think a really good art project for GDC would be all of those letters, all of those boo-hoo-hoo, sad exec letters saying we're so sorry to lose, you know, so many of our trusted colleagues, blah, 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 love this person, you know, to take those letters and amend them just to have that person's salary next to the signature. That's all they should do. Just take that letter and amend the signature to include their salary. And then have at GDC just a wall of all of those letters as you come down those big escalators. You know where they do the whimsical art projects?
Yeah.
Do that instead. Put that up there. And of course they can't. They wouldn't do that ever. But I thought that would be really good. I think that it is tough. We've talked before about how some of the press cover these games and make the problems that they then, you know, hype up things like, and then say, oh, this game that was so hyped has done well. You did the hype. you don't want to get into a situation where you are not covering the product that, you know, the piece of work, not just a product, but the piece of, you know, creative work that someone's been working on for 2 years, just because, you know, and they may now be fired, but they still want to see the game out there. So you want to see people playing the game and see people's impressions of that game. And you don't end up covering it because someone, you know, in the C-suite is an asshole. You don't want to end up in that situation. But I do get what you're driving at, you know. It would be easier if the press took a stand and said, well, maybe we
start treating people better. I mean, everybody's sort of on about sort of unionizing and stuff, and, you know, I agree with all of that sort of thing, but then we still sort of cover them as if nothing's happening.
Yeah. I mean, it does suck, I think, that unionization is not in a stronger place right now, because there are so many people looking for work right now that it's very hard to take a strong line. And that's what unions are for, right? And saying, you know, well, we'll all quit if you don't keep paying people the rates. But I know in other industries, you know, it's very hard to hold your day rate when you know there are 50 other people who aren't in unions and will absolutely undercut you and say, oh no, I'll do it for half that. That's the position we're in.
Yes, it's right. We've managed to bring down the intro as well as bringing down the show, goodness. Haven't we? Anything else to add, Steve? Anything lighthearted? Come on.
It was very fun to see you at the party on Saturday. We had a good time. My daughter's birthday, which we'll talk about at the start of the show. We had a really, really good time. And in many ways, it was like old times, except for with lots and lots and lots of children around.
Well, the last time I drank in a children's playground like that was when we were in Norway.
Yeah, perfect.
With Jonathan Smith, ironically. Mm. No, sorry, that's not ironically, is it? Because, you know, he was our responsible adult then, and he's our responsible adult now.
He is.
Good. Right. One more show for GDC. If there's anything you want us to find out, to find out GDC or bring you back, please email
team@onelifeleft.com.
Otherwise, buckle up, strap in for a laugh a minute show. We'll see you next week. Thanks for listening.
Hello, good evening, and welcome to One Life Left. We're a video game radio show broadcasting live on Resonance 104.4 FM. And my name is Steve Curran.
Hello, I'm Simon Byron.
How are you, Simon?
I'm very well, thank you, Steve. How are you?
I'm all right. I'm okay. It's been a busy weekend for us both, hasn't it?
It has, yeah. Full of kids.
So many kids.
There were lots of kids.
Absolutely.
How many were there? You were in charge of them, were you? Were you legally responsible for them?
They said when we arrived at the party venue, because it was my daughter's birthday party this weekend, we arrived at the party, said there's a playground outside, a little outside playground, but they won't be allowed to use it because they're 5 years old. The playground's for only 6-year-olds and above. So someone will have to be stationed there to tell the kids, look, you see all this wonderful stuff you can see outside? Look at this fort, this wooden fort with this lovely bridge. Huge slide. Can't use it. Press your faces against the glass. That didn't happen. They used it pretty quickly. We were told, you station some adults outside. It'll be fine. And yes, you and me were stationed outside for a while, weren't we?
As I remarked to you at the time, it's the first time in maybe 20 years that I've drank cans of beer in a kid's playground. And it was good. I enjoyed it. It made it more bearable.
Good. It was good. And no one got injured, so we did our job.
Is there a job to drink beer in a kid's playground, then? Because if there is, then sign me up. I mean, I do think I'm quite qualified as well.
Look at your history. I don't know. If you've got a deep history of doing that, you probably don't get the job.
I went to a I went to a grammar school in Bournemouth and we had a careers teacher and we had to lie about the jobs we wanted to do when we were older. What do you think? How do you think he would have reacted if he said, what do you want to do when you're older? I want to drink beer in a children's park.
Yeah. You know, fast forward. If that version of Simon had fast forwarded to the future and imagined himself drinking beer in a kid's park.
Finally made it.
How lucky you are. But it was a good day, wasn't it? It was a good day. We had fun. The kids seemed to have fun as well.
I didn't ask them.
No. Well, it's about you, isn't it? It's
indeed. Supervising.
It's all about you. And then the day after that, Simon, I believe, although I haven't spoken to you since, you went on the London Eye.
We did go on the London Eye, yes. That was good. I only could see from the summit... There were only three venues I've seen Muse at were visible. There were a few that I couldn't see, which is a little bit annoying. Can't see the O2. You can't see the O2 from the top of the London Eye. You can't see the London Stadium.
Were there other people in your capsule? did you regale them with tales as you approached the summit? Just
saw them there.
Now you can see, there. See that one? Saw him there.
I did not know. Yeah, it was good. We mooched around. We went to another park. Mm-hmm. Didn't go to the Namco arcade, though, did we, in County Hall? Because it's no longer there.
Not there.
It's
anymore.
A Shrek experience.
Mm.
Did anyone ask for that?
I think that's going away as well.
Or did they just move in? Did they just squat? I can't imagine.
I think the Shrek experience is going to become a Paddington experience.
Just a sad bear, like a lost bear.
Well, I'm glad you had a good time. I've only been on the London Eye once, and that was to see the Nokia N-Gage when the lots is all in capsules. So you're not getting away for a 40-minute ride, so enjoy it while you can. Did it at night as well, so you can't see anything other than the
who was it? Can you? So can you remember much about the day? Who else was in your capsule?
I can't remember. It would have been me.
Can't remember or won't say. What goes on up there stays up there, does it?
I genuinely can't remember. I can remember thinking it was very clever because you're not going anywhere. Once that thing starts to revolve, it's just you, the N-Gage handler, and another six journalists, I guess.
Well, there was no sign of the N-Gage up there, I'm afraid. Blimey. Yeah, because, I mean, they were, I think it's safe to say this now. They were quite a scary bunch, the N-Gage lot, weren't they?
Especially when you're trapped in a glass bubble slowly revolving. Yeah, it was good times, though. I wonder how much one of those is worth on eBay.
I was just thinking exactly. I bet it's not very much.
Let's have a look. Live.
I've certainly thrown one away.
Advanced. Let's look for in this category. No, how do you do it? Sold items and search for N-Gage. Oh, no, it's turning up loads of model railway N-Gorge. As in gauge, spelt like that.
Right.
N-Gage. Wait, hold on. There we go. Most recent one sold parts only for 50 quid.
Wow, for parts only. Blimey.
Hello. Here we go. Vintage, Simon.
Obviously.
Vintage Nokia N-Gage phone gaming deck boxed. Excellent working condition. Pre-owned. 195 quid sold for.
That must have been with Tomb Raider.
Let me see. I've got that in my loft space.
Do you? You're going to be a billionaire.
I'm going to be a 200 quid-aire. I will also, says the seller, be listing over 25 N-Gage games this weekend. Hyping it up for when those will drop.
Crikey.
Yeah, no games included. Please note the FIFA game is not included, just to show it's
FIFA
working.
FIFA on the N-Gage.
You can't get either
world,
of those
wasn't
things
it? Yeah.
These days. Good. Well, we are a video game radio show. We've started unusually by talking about video games. We'll have much more video game chat later in the show. I've got some updates about my game and we will be talking about the games that Simon has no doubt been playing, because he's much more diligent than I am when it comes to that. Also have the letters section. If you are listening live, still time to get your letters in. Got another quarter of an hour. And we'll start, as we always start, with the news, as hosted by Charles Bott.
Me, Charles Bott 1.1. In a cheeky bit of digital tomfoolery, two indie games on Steam, Figurality and Do Not Smile, temporarily masqueraded as the popular Helldivers 2, offering themselves at discounted prices. The developers had altered all the metadata to mimic the real deal, even going as far as renaming the publisher to PlayStation PC LLC. This ruse lasted a mere 3 hours before the games were spotted and delisted. While this might raise eyebrows about Steam's developer policies, it's a reminder to always check the reviews before buying. They're the only thing that can't be faked. Now, imagine if other Steam games were cloned in a similar fashion. Picture the chaos if Among Us was replaced by Amongst Ourselves, a game where players try to find the imposter amongst a group of friendly garden gnomes. Or what if Cyberpunk 2077 was swapped out for Cyberprank 2077, a game where you navigate a dystopian future filled with practical jokes and banana peels. And let's not forget the possibility of The Witcher 3 being replaced by The Itcher 3, where players embark on an epic quest to find the ultimate back scratcher. The possibilities are endless. And while these examples are humorous, they serve as a reminder to always double check before making a purchase. After all, you wouldn't want to find yourself in a gnome-filled spaceship or slipping on a banana peel in a dystopian future.
Oh, phenomenal.
You wouldn't, Charles, would you? He didn't quite get the concept of what was going on Steam this week, but there were some good suggestions nonetheless.
We are going to be selling Charles Bott merch with "the possibilities are endless" on a t-shirt.
As endless as they are humorous, yes, they are. But you're fun at parties, Charles Bott, aren't you? Did you see this then, Steve?
I didn't see this. This is literally news to me, but it is.
I know. Well, you're the proud owner of two knockoff Helldivers. Yeah. So there are all sorts of approval processes that you need to go through with in order to launch on Steam. And there aren't quite as many approval processes when you update stuff on Steam. Mm. A lot of that is under your control. Two games decided to masquerade as Helldivers 2, which was audacious. And stupid. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't understand what exactly they were trying to do, because they won't have got any money. You don't get paid by Valve until the month after your game was sold. So
were these real games? Were they games?
Apparently so. Yeah, apparently so. Okay. But they flipped. They updated their name on Steam. They changed all the screenshots and all the text to be about Helldivers 2. And people were buying them because they thought they were cheap. They were getting another game. Mm-hmm. But this company won't have got any money off Valve from it at all. And in any case, you know, Steam has a very generous consumer-friendly refund policy. Mm. So people would have just got their money back, assuming that they launched it.
You just did it for the lols, Simon.
Maybe, but I mean, I don't know anything about that company or its games, but, you know, they'll be booted off Steam forever now, so quite a costly joke. I was interested in the publisher update, though, so you could so they sort of changed it, so they didn't call themselves Sony or what have you, gave themselves a riff on that, and that was a little trick that you could use back in the old days when Steam Spy was listing all of the games by a particular publisher. Mm-hmm. If you were a particular publisher back then, you could just slightly alter your name, your publisher name on Steam, so it wouldn't be grouped with all your other games on Steam and Steam Spy.
Uh-huh.
So if somebody was doing some homework on you, you could just change it slightly.
So you just take
and not get found out. I'm not sure if that's still true, but.
So you mean you could, if your stats for a game weren't particularly high, you could group that with something else. So if someone was searching you, very good.
Very good. I think you'll find that all of Yogscast games are listed under Yogscast games. There's nothing there. Can't speak for my former employers.
In a classic case of you can't play your cards right all the time, popular poker-themed roguelike Balatro has been yanked from several digital shops due to an unexpected ratings kerfuffle. Despite being as harmless as a game of Snap with my nan, the game's rating has inexplicably jumped from a family-friendly 3+ to a rather stern 18+. The publisher, Playstack, is understandably miffed, insisting Balatro is as far from a gambling den as I am from a world-class gamer. The game remains available on PC platforms, so don't fold just yet, poker fans. Now, let's debunk the myth that poker is gambling. It's more like a strategic game of chess, but with cards. You see, when you're playing poker, you're not just blindly throwing money into a pot and hoping for the best. No, you're carefully calculating odds, reading your opponents, and making educated decisions. It's like investing in stocks, but instead of Wall Street, you're on the river. And let's not forget about the bluffing aspect. It's like playing hide and seek with your money. You're not gambling, you're just trying to convince everyone else that you've got a royal flush, when in reality you're holding a pair of twos. It's all about the poker face, not the poker chips. So next time someone tells you that poker is gambling, just laugh and tell them it's more like a game of Monopoly, except instead of buying properties, you're buying into hands. And instead of going to jail, you're just going all in.
I thought his delivery was excellent throughout that.
Wasn't
piece.
It? He's really I mean, good. You could tell Charles Bott likes a flutter.
Yes. And he likes saying Balatro as well.
Balatro.
Balatro. Yeah. I should provide our listeners with an update. Last week, I promised I would play this game, and as is traditional, with One Life Left. I have not followed through on that promise.
No, why
did
you?
I did remember, but I'm too scared of it, Simon. It feels exactly like the sort of game, I think I said this on the show last week, that I will sink hundreds of hours into and then go, why, at the end. A game that is about numbers going up, a game that is about rewarding you in the moment and making you feel great.
And it's not about gambling, though, Steve.
No, it's not about gambling.
Definitely not. I mean,
so
obviously,
I've stayed away. But yeah, clearly other people are being warned to stay away because that's why the rating shot up, because someone decided it's a gambling game.
Well, they have very tight rules around promoting gambling mm-hmm. to kids, quite mm-hmm. rightly. And I think that there was a mismatch in terms of the approval that was originally given and what have you. I don't know. I mean, I like the game. I like Playstack. But to argue that poker is not gambling feels a bit strange to me. Yeah, I mean, you aren't losing real money, right? And it's... is poker is gambling, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's
but
not.
Aren't so many games.
So you win it through gambling, though. You win it through losing your money or winning someone else's. When whether that money is real or chips or what, or you know, or what have you, it is gambling, isn't it? Isn't it? Is it? Or have I got this wrong? And it is in fact not.
I mean, isn't anything that has a, I don't know, a spinny wheel to decide which character you're going to fight next, isn't that gambling as well? Like, if there's a random component in this, and then you're...
Well, I'm not sure what casinos you go to, but they rarely spin wheels in order for people to then fight. You. Whereas,
well, you clearly,
you know, Texas Hold'em is. I mean, I know this isn't real Texas Hold'em. I don't know. I don't know about
that's
this.
That's the setting of the mechanic, right? The setting of the mechanic here is a card game, a gambling card game. I mean, is I don't know. I feel that is much a game where you are playing something like that. Like a gaming mechanic is less gambling than something like FIFA Ultimate Team, which to me is literally gambling, right? You are purchasing things that are worth money in the real world, and whether or not you get those depends on an algorithm, luck, essentially.
When you have... shapes comprised of four squares and you leave a long straight gap between the neatly stacked other shapes,
Mm-hmm.
Are you gambling on getting a long... Is that gambling as well then in this?
I see what you're saying. Yeah, I mean, yeah. It is. It.
We should, but they should ban all games then in that case. Yeah, I don't know.
No,
I don't
it is
know.
Gambling.
I mean, obviously...
That's the mechanic. You taught me... This is the game we'll talk about later in the show, but you taught me about push your luck games, right?
I do like push your luck, yeah.
Push your luck. You love push your luck. That's gambling.
Oh, I'll push my luck, Steve. Put me in a room with you, I'll push my luck.
That's Tetris, right? Tetris is... a push-your-luck game, at least at that sort of level of going, ooh, I think I'll get a straight one, I think I'll get a straight one, and then you don't. It's push-your-luck. And that's compelling, and it's a really big part of video games and video game design. Now, obviously here you've got that element and the card part, but you don't have the money part, and that's the risk. Unless you're saying the risk is, oh, getting children into the idea of playing card games, in which case, well, stick Regency Solitaire with a 18 plus as well.
Do you win money at solitaire? I mean, you must bet on
You win the girl's heart, Simon. Things. And that's going to cost you.
Rockstar Games is facing criticism as it plans to terminate its hybrid working model, mandating employees to return to the office full-time in April. The company justifies this decision by citing productivity and security concerns following the leaks of Grand Theft Auto 6. However, the Independent Workers Union of Great Britain and Rockstar employees have expressed their disapproval of the move, fearing a resurgence of unhealthy working conditions. Last year, a petition advocating for the continuation of remote work options was submitted by unionized Rockstar workers. The company's decision has been labeled as reckless, with concerns about work-life balance, health issues, and the potential revival of the notorious crunch culture. As we wrap up, here are some humorous excuses that Rockstar staff could use to avoid returning to the office. 1. I've developed a rare allergy to office coffee. 2. My pet rock has separation anxiety. 3. I'm currently in a committed relationship with my pajamas. 4. My houseplant needs constant emotional support. 5. I'm conducting a year-long experiment on the effects of working from home on my productivity. It's for science. 6. I've been cast in a reality show called Home Office Heroes. 7. My chair and I have become inseparable. 8. I'm worried about the office's lack of my cat's approval. 9. My commute is too long. The kitchen is just too far from the living room. 10. I'm practicing social distancing indefinitely.
I just said a few examples of some excuses that you could use in order to not go back to the office. I quite like some
tone at the back end, though. 9.
Exactly.
10.
We all know this is too many.
Yeah, just. But what can I do? I'm trapped in this life.
Hmm.
People have said this was coming. The sort of the world that we were ushered into during COVID, where we were forced to come up with ways of working remotely, works for many, many people. And I think it's a great way of making games and great way of running companies. But other people live in fear that they are being ripped off, that the people who are working from home, they're not doing their work. And so a lot of those people eager to get people back into the office. Now you can come up with lots of excuses for that, such as the security of your game. But it's hard to not feel that there is some bigger agenda at work here. And it's one that's much easier to bring about given the current climate of the games industry where everyone is fearing for their jobs.
Yes, obviously there's a lot of news. Last week was just horrific in terms of games news, which Charles Bott will not be covering this week because, you know, he's always making light of things, Steve. He's always messing around.
Yeah.
And but yeah, you're right. It's a tough old time and I was reading something earlier where people talk about entertainment businesses, you know, can have sort of regional hubs. Like, you know, if you're a filmmaker, you'll be in sort of Hollywood often. Games, if you work at a company that is in the office, then you might need to move. And, you know, are people going to be up for doing that anymore given the uncertainty? I don't know. It was... So last week was Sony. That was last week, wasn't it? I think it was
that was Monday. Last week, yeah.
Supermassive making redundancies. Yeah, just company after company.
And the Sony one was on notice. Shocking, wasn't it? From on a you know, global level, but specifically for you know, people who are in the UK, people who live and work in games in London, because that's been a fixture. Sony London's been a fixture of the games industry, a pillar of the games industry, some would say, for decades. And no one saw that coming at all. I my phone blew up. Like I received like, I don't know, 3 messages in about 5 minutes, wondered what was going on. I was on a call at the time and it was shocking, and particularly shocking to, I have friends who work there and they had no idea this was coming. Absolutely no idea.
And that was where a lot of the experimental stuff would come out of, right? That would take the most advantage of the Sony hardware and the Sony features and stuff. And some, yeah, I mean, it's been home to some fantastic games over the years. And just to see it, I don't know, you sort of get the feeling that, I mean, Sony's not losing money, is it? It's and it's just not making as much as somebody else would like.
Mm-hmm. And that's the struggle that all these companies are having. You know, there is, some would say, there is enough money to easily support all of those employees around. But that money is going to, you know, places that don't support the creative development of games, but do support massive bonuses and, you know, shareholders and buyback schemes and all of that kind of thing. And when people say, when those letters go out from the execs at the top of the company saying, we are devastated that we have to let so many of our friends go, people instrumented building this thing, and it hurts us so much, and we will be there for them. And then you do a little bit of Googling and say, you know, how much was the head of EA paid last year? Oh, got 20 million in compensation. And you wonder how much of that letter is true, how much they actually do care. You see the photo of Jim Ryan?
I did, yeah. But equally, the sign-off on that letter is like, you know, be kind to each other. Now, why don't you be kind to them? Why don't you be kind?
If only we could find out who did this. I mean, you know, the photo that I'm talking about is the head of Sony, you know, who's retiring, I think, next month. Is that right? Retiring soon.
Yeah.
Jim Ryan visiting London studio last week. And it's a photo of him with, and I believe it was billed as like a retirement tour, a retirement party or something. Photo of him with 15, 20 smiling employees in Sony London, everyone grinning, everyone really happy, and he knew. How can you do that? It's, I don't know, it makes me so mad. And obviously best wishes to everyone there, and everyone at, you know, at Supermassive and all the other studios going through this. Did you read friend of the show Tony Gowland's LinkedIn post about this?
I did, yes. Yeah. And
Tony said, and it's, you know, it's a somewhat downbeat note, but said, you're seeing some positive and, I think, slightly naive takes on this, saying, oh, but it's going to be great in the future. There's going to be so many great little indie studios that are going to come out of this. When the truth is, it's just as hard in that part of the industry as well. So many indie studios closing. And not just in gaming. Like, I'm sure we have lots of listeners to One Life Left who work in different sectors, especially creative sectors. I know this is going on in film, and this is going on in TV. And it's, you know, it's a similar sort of thing that you're seeing executives in studios paid, CEOs paid to make sure this sort of stuff doesn't happen. And it happens, and they still get paid, and they still get their bonuses. And it sucks. It really sucks.
Embracer Group is reportedly on the cusp of selling off Gearbox, with insiders claiming that the decision has already been made. Gearbox CEO Randy Pitchford has been alluding to 3 possible outcomes for months: maintain the relationship with Embracer, be sold, or purchase itself. Despite Pitchford's evasiveness, the grapevine suggests a sale is on the horizon. This comes in the wake of Embracer's recent cost-cutting initiatives, which include studio shutdowns and project terminations. Concurrently, Take-Two, the long-standing publisher of Gearbox's Borderlands franchise, remains mum about any potential interest. As the old bot mum adage goes, in the gaming world, it's either sell or be sold. However, it's worth noting that Pitchford has a history of denying rumours that later turn out to be true. For instance, he vehemently denied the existence of Borderlands 3 in 2018, only for the game to be announced a year later. Similarly, he refuted allegations of a Duke Nukem game in development in 2010, but Gearbox released Duke Nukem Forever the following year. Thus, while Pitchford's denials should be taken into account, they should also be taken with a grain of salt.
Shouldn't they just, Charles Bott? Yes. So his statement, and, you know, I thought actually maybe Charles Bott could have got some better examples, really, because I have different memories. But Kotaku got in touch with him, and the statement he gave back was... they wrote, refusing to confirm or deny the report, Pitchford told Kotaku, I'm delighted that what we might be up to is interesting enough to people that you want to make up a story about us for your readers. He added, as always, we will be thrilled to share whenever we have projects to announce or news to share as we work hard towards our mission to entertain the world.
I mean, that's not a denial in...
Well, of course, it's not. No, but it's just such a irked me that time.
You're making this up, are you?
Making this up, Randy? Are you? You've got a track record of denying stuff just because it hasn't been announced at a convenient time. But all of this is taking place against the backdrop that that Embracer, who bought Gearbox and many other companies, is now quickly selling them off again. So, I mean, I don't know where that. I don't know what happened to the money that it's lost or where that money... I don't know. Some people must be getting very rich out of it.
You talk about gambling. That's gambling. That's what the model was or seemed to be. Or so the story goes that, you know, Embracer were buying and buying and buying and there was big hope that money was going to come in from somewhere else. I believe the rumour was that... they were close to closing a deal with the Saudis for some billions, and that never occurred. And then suddenly they find themselves in the hole. And that's gambling, but you're not gambling in a Bellatro sense where it's harmless, or even in a FIFA Ultimate Team thing where you're only losing money yourself. You're gambling literally with the lives of thousands, tens of thousands of employees across the world, and it sucks. It's irresponsible. I can't end two news stories by just going, it sucks, it sucks, it sucks. But it looks like I have.
Stuck for a Mother's Day gift? EA's got your back with The Sims Plumbob Collection, a range of jewellery inspired by The Sims 4 Crystal Creation Stuff Pack. The collection, featuring a necklace, ring and earrings, is crafted from 18K gold electroplated stainless steel and green agate. Available on shopthesims.com, the pieces retail from £37 to £41, plus shipping and tax. Now you can match your Sims with this game-inspired collection. And if you're still reeling from the disastrous Willy Wonka experience, find solace in The Sims virtual world. For those seeking a more humorous touch, consider the Pac-Mom apron set. This playful collection includes an apron, oven mitts, and pot holders, all adorned with a Pac-Man maze design. The twist? The ghosts are replaced with chore symbols, and Pac-Man is now Pac-Mom, gobbling up tasks with ease. It's the perfect gift for the gaming mum who's also a whiz in the kitchen.
Tricky there for Charles Bott, who impressed me with his knowledge of current affairs. He references the Willy Wonka experience.
Oh, you didn't plan that?
No.
Oh.
He's like, someone's told Charles Bott about what's been going on. But wasn't there some talk about AI being responsible for some of the content as well? So maybe it sent shockwaves through the AI bot world.
I mean, no question that AI was responsible for the content. The site that, I don't know if it's still up, was plastered in evidently AI-generated imagery, not in the sense that you can go, oh, I'm a detective, I recognise that kind of brushstroke, but it had all of that AI gobbledygook, the words that do not make sense, just all over the stuff.
And apparently, six fingers.
Yeah,
all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, and the scripts were written by AI as well. So, it's all that anyone's talking about. But well done, Charles Bott.
Yeah, so he's bang up to date with that. But unfortunately, he's got some rather outdated views about what mums do these days, doesn't he? About chores in the kitchen, Charles Bott. You should be ashamed
really,
of yourself.
Charles Bott. I just popped over to the Sims official merch store. The Sims, I think we've mentioned before, is one of those huge sectors of video gaming that barely touches me at all. But you know, you can buy Sims hoodies, Simon.
But I don't have any, and that will tell you something about it.
Buy a glittery simoleon pin, Plumbob pin, sticker packs, all of that stuff. But also now some fancy jewellery under accessories.
Lovely stuff.
None of this makes sense to me at all.
No, I won't be getting them for any of the mums that I know.
Good. All right. That's all of the news. Thank you to you, Simon, for putting that together. But most of all, thank you to Charles Bott.
One Life Left Video Game News with
me, Charles Bott 1.1.
Hey all, I'm Dr. Alok Kanoja, but the internet knows me as Dr. K. I spent 7 years studying to become a monk and then became a psychiatrist. I want to tell you a little bit about my podcast, Healthy Gamer GG, where we combine my clinical experience of practicing psychiatry and sprinkle in years of experience as a meditation teacher and sort of focus on spirituality. So on the podcast, we're going to approach very common everyday problems from each of these lenses. And what we really do well is blend science and spirituality to create the most accessible solutions for people for their everyday problems. So check us out at Healthy Gamer GG on YouTube, Spotify, or Apple.
You are listening to One Life Left on Resonance 104.4 FM. We're a video game radio show. It's spring, it's March, we're all full of hope. Simon will be off to GDC in a couple of weeks, which means we'll have one more show and then we'll have a little bit of a break. We're also a podcast. You can find the podcast at onelifeleft.com. You can go to hello.onelifeleft.com for links and links to the Discord and that kind of stuff. All of that is handled by Phil, our under caretaker. So thank you to Phil for that.
Thanks, Phil.
I'll give you a Black Diamond update, shall I?
Please do.
So,
am I still the best at it?
Well, that happened, didn't it? Black Diamond is a game that I decided to make on my own, see whether I could make a thing without anybody else's help and successfully publish it on the Play Store. I haven't done that yet. It's not published on the Play Store, but it is available. If you want to see what we're up to on the One Life Left Discord, you can find a link to that at hello.onelifeleft.com, where it's usually in the show notes as well. You can go there and there'll be a link somewhere in OLL chat to the game, which you can play on my website, or there's an APK as well if you're confident enough to install one of those on your Android device. So this week, I added leaderboards to it, so people can go and compete. And Simon, imagine my surprise when I woke up one day and saw you at the top of the leaderboard.
Hello.
Yeah, you can change your name as well. So I saw Byronic Command there. And there's two different ways to play now. There's timed version and a logic version. Took out the timer. And I think that's what I'm going to build on this week. I'm going to try and introduce a third and final mode to the game, which will be an endless mode. So you can just play and get a score. And that, combined with sorting out the daily stuff, so it's all running on the same system clock, will be my project for my spare time this week. And then I'll look at trying to put it on the Play Store so people can download it, beta testers. But if you want access to that beta test thing, which will not involve an APK, but will involve just signing up on the Play Store. If you want access to that, yeah, you've got to do the same as people have done in previous weeks. You've got to join the One Life Left Discord, and I'll put you in there. And then I'm going to put adverts in. So join now.
Great. What sort of adverts?
Before I start monetizing. You know, those disingenuous full-page ones that make you watch for 30 seconds and you see a game that isn't anything like the game you're going to play. you can play those adverts these days, Simon. I don't think.
Can you?
A lot of the time, yeah, you can. I don't know how familiar you are with the mobile game ecosystem, but sometimes it says, look, don't download it, just play it right now in the advert. And then you try and close the advert, and then it installs it, and then pretty soon you're being monetized 7 out of 10.
Why is everybody so awful?
Well, I'm very excited to join them soon. Yeah. Learning a lot, though. It's good fun. I think the game's all right. It's quite good.
It's good.
It's quite good.
What I meant to ask you was, on the timed mode, does the board always start off the same?
So, on the timed mode, yes. The problem I've had, it's not a problem, because I've solved it now.
It's
solved
an opportunity.
It literally last night and very early this morning, is that when you look for the time in a web app, what it does is it looks at your computer and says, what's the time? What day is it today? Which is fine, but it means that different people across the world are on different days because of time zones. And what I've had to do is unify that. So what it does now is it polls a server, gets the time, returns that to the game, and then it'll let you click and start the daily puzzle, which will make the daily puzzle the same for everyone across the world. Also, I've changed the aesthetics of it and changed the... you can get different colours on different days. It was picking a random set of colours for today. And so you might play it again and think it was different, but actually just the colours have changed. That is no longer the case. So it is consistent for everyone. And after this evening's work, I think it should be competitive in a fair way. It's not exactly been competitive in a fair way, but I'm sure your score was fair. I'm sure.
It was good. Yeah, it was fair. I was top for... I mean, I haven't checked since, but did I finish the day as best in
you
the world?
You did not, no, I believe.
Oh, for God's sake, who beat me?
Audrey, a One Life listener, but I think there are only between 10 and 12 people on the leaderboard. But still, you can only compete against who's there, Simon. And you were
talking,
you beat
right.
me.
Well, can I start competing against who's not there? Can we put a ban list together?
Yeah, we do need more people who aren't there. I would say, like, the most... interesting thing about this game, and the same is true of the other one that I'm working on as well, is it's really gratifying to produce a game that you are not the best at. And I almost said the name of the game that I'm not allowed to talk about. Black Diamond is now at a point where, especially in the timed mode, I'm not the best at it. I can't play it. In fact, I give it to Alice sometimes and she's actually better, because it's just a purely observation-based game, really, in timed. And... and yeah, it's quite neat to see. Also frustrating to a point.
But it's also nice to create a game that surprises you, isn't it? A game that's built on systems. Mm. So you don't have to bother with all the level design and stuff like that.
Absolutely. Like, to have a game that generates new levels every day and that you don't have to do that for. Because that's when we put out Pixelgrams, that was always the problem there, that we had to hand design everything. If I ever do anything with that game again, like that game, then I will rip out that system and make sure that it generates procedurally.
Well, let's hope that this one generates loads of money.
Straight into the One Life Left account, if I can work out how to do that. It's time for the letters.
Email, messages, and forward BCC. One Life Letters.
Thank you for your correspondence this week on the Discord. James has written, Dear Team and SSG, last week Steve mentioned a play-by-email space game that he used to play with his mum but couldn't remember the name of. Was it Stars? I guess you'd call it a 4X these days, but it wasn't a term you could hear Steve Googling. Mm-hmm. I'd heard in the mid-90s, and I had no idea what I was supposed to do. Added to that, I was invited to play by a friend who went to a different school, so felt somewhat at a disadvantage in the diplomacy-esque making alliances with other players I didn't know. What's the loneliest multiplayer experience you've ever had? Cheerio, James.
It's Black Diamond, because I'm playing it multiplayer and no one else is playing it. I just looked at Stars, and no, it isn't that, but it does have that. I don't remember playing this in Windows. I think this was a DOS game, so I don't think it had Windows window frames around it. It did have, obviously, that 1990s aesthetic, which is visible in Stars. But no, I don't think it was that. Good suggestion, though.
Good suggestion. In terms of loneliest multiplayer, I mean, Kate and I always talked about what it'd be like when they turn off Battlefront servers and just being able to sort of walk around that one last time, walk around the locations and levels one last time in a multiplayer game, just remembering fondly the choke points that you had in Jabba's Palace, for example. I don't understand what... So you've seen that they've announced that they're remastering classic Battlefront.
I have not seen that. No.
Which just annoyed me, because why don't they just make everybody play those games again? Because they were fantastic.
Yeah.
Says somebody who doesn't play them anymore, just... sadly.
Keep the servers on forever, and then we can decide whether it's time for us to go back and play them rather than you.
Phil wrote on the Discord, "Dear team and unlikely SSG, Sports Interactive have just killed the transfer exploit bug that seemingly had only recently been discovered in Football Manager, making any player purchasable for any team as long as they wanted to join your team and you could afford their wages for a measly 1.2k over six installments plus 2.5 million after 50 league appearances. Annoyingly, as I'm some kind of sadist who plays the game as Bolt Wanderers, my chairperson has tight control of the wage budget, meaning I didn't get a chance to take advantage of this glitch in any way. This would never have happened if it had been released on floppy disk. What cheat, hack, glitch, exploit have you taken advantage of or missed out on that then got fixed by an update? Or what is your favourite, most memorable cheat code of all time? Mine is still the Unlimited Lives level skip cheat for New Zealand Story on the Amiga Atari ST that isn't broadcast friendly." He put it in spoilers, and I have to say I was shocked when I clicked on that.
Alright, I'm gonna do it now.
Live. Okay, where's the mailbag channel? Here we go. All right, I see it. Wow!
That's not on, is it?
That's not okay.
That is not okay. Now, I mean, I think that's worse than hot coffee.
That's definitely worth...
Hot coffee was just biology, wasn't it?
It was. There's nothing wrong with biology.
No.
No, there is something wrong with saying that. I can't say that.
There was then discussion on the Discord about other cheat codes that were rude words. And there's one for an elephant game, CJ's Elephant Antics. I mean, that's got a cheat code that, you know, compared to New Zealand Stories, is endearing.
The most memorable cheat code, I can't remember the actual cheat code, but I can remember the impact it had on the game, what it did, was in Sonic. There was a very long cheat code that allowed you basically to design levels to become the designer, place tiles around the level, so you then got access via the joypad to all of the sprites and you could just put them around. And I thought that was incredible. Like, suddenly having access to the tools that the designers use. I mean, presumably they had a keyboard and weren't having to... I hope they weren't having to design them all with the pad. Just genuinely had a huge effect on me. I didn't even have a Mega Drive. Someone showed me when I was around the house. I was like, wow! I don't remember anything else, because I'm not a cheater, Simon.
You're not a cheater. Last time I used something like this was in the Mario on the Switch. Because Mario has this weird thing where you get, like, it will reach a game over state, but then will just reload and give you like five more lives, and so you can lose lives quite readily, and particularly if you sort of so then why have a game over state? It just, all that does is add time to stopping your enjoyment. But there was one level where you could hop on a tortoise shell at a specific place, and it would just keep rebounding and it would give you loads of lives, and then you didn't have to worry about that. So I did that for about 20 minutes, and
it's checkpoint management, isn't it, the game over thing, that's the purpose of it. So in Mario you can proceed through various checkpoints within a level. If you hit game over, you lose those checkpoints, so you'd have to do all of those bits again.
Yeah, it would be like if you died without making the mid-level checkpoint.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Simon is shrugging.
Unless you had loads of lives after the mid-level checkpoint. I don't know, it just seems really odd.
Yeah, I sort of get it. I find it annoying anyway, because
it's
mostly evident, at least in the Mario games. I think we've stopped playing Galaxy 2 now. But it's mostly evident there in that you often have long levels or longish levels that get to the boss. And then the threat becomes, if you lose your five lives fighting this boss, then you're going to have to go back and do all of that bit again. And that can be a bit annoying.
But often by those later boss levels, you should have amassed enough lives to sort of balance.
Yeah.
Or, yeah.
I don't know.
They know better than us, Steve, really? Don't they?
What are we?
Although I've not seen them top of the black diamond boards. So do they?
Very true. Do we have any more letters?
I've not looked on the emails.
You look on the email. You're better at that than I am.
Ba-ba-ba-ba. Doesn't look like it. I've got loads of press releases. Oh, we've got offered a band. Did you see that?
I did. Hi, Steve, Simon and Anne. It began. I was like, mm-hmm. I thought, what would we do with a band?
Well, you'd get them to do karaoke, wouldn't you?
That's true, could do.
Yes, yeah, that was my obvious thought.
Yeah, turn up to our karaoke gig. We do have a karaoke gig coming up, by the way, on the 15th. It's a benefit gig for Resonance. Please, please, please look in the show notes for a link, or join One Life Left, look at the karaoke Discord, look at all of that stuff, or just go and buy tickets by searching for karaoke and following our links, because we really need to sell more tickets, because all of your ticket purchases support Resonance FM. That's on Friday the 15th of March, day before you fly out to GDC.
Indeed. The schedule is full for GDC now, Steve. I get people emailing me now going, hey, we should meet up at GDC. I'm like, what, are you crazy? Like, how do you think I've got any time left? We should catch up.
I have plenty of time because I'm not going out there for the first time in, well, aside from the COVID years when none of us went out there, first time in a very long time, maybe 15, 20 years, that I'm just skipping GDC. But it feels like quite a lot of people are doing that, actually.
I saw somebody on LinkedIn this morning bragging about the fact that they were choosing not to go to GDC this year for various, you know, business reasons that they wrote in short paragraphs, mm-hmm. congratulating themselves. And Steve, get this, they've been to every GDC since 2019.
Wow. And they're skipping this one.
Now, how many have there been since 2019?
Two. Anyway, I will miss it. I'll miss you.
It will miss you. We will miss you.
That we have, but you'll have fun and you'll have a lot of meetings as well. This is the letter section. We haven't closed that off properly. If you have anything you want to say to One Life Left before our GDC break, please do email us at
team@onelifeleft.com.
Or drop in the Discord and say hello. Listening to One Life Left, Resonance 104.4 FM. Do we have any other business, Simon?
I'm having dinner with Charles Bott at GDC.
Are you?
I am, yeah. After the day after he swam from, sorry, the day of him swimming from Alcatraz. I'm hoping he'll just, you know, walk into the restaurant in his trunks, still sopping wet legs.
Will you do me a favour while you're out there with him? Will you get him to record live some of the catchphrases? Go on, say the thing, Charles. Go on, say the thing.
He doesn't listen, does he? He's actually doing a he's doing another podcast right now.
Is he?
Yeah, I know he is. So because he's promoting his Kickstarter. Have you seen it?
I have. It was doing well. While I looked at it. Someone donated £200. I saw it.
Yeah, it's, well.
And I say donated because you're not getting anything out of that.
It looks really good. I dropped him a note saying, congratulations, that's fantastic. I said, even I'm tempted to give you some money, but I don't want to.
Beautiful videos showing the difference between the low-res Broken Sword and the modern version that they're.
Yeah, it really does look fantastic.
Yeah.
Do go and check that out. And what I like about it is, well, quite a tight turnaround on it. I think you bung Charles your money now. I think you get the game in May, I think it's something like that.
Yeah, he's already got it, hasn't he? Yeah. So it's in his back pocket. He'll probably come around and deliver it to you. Yeah, very good.
Broken
well done, Charles.
Sword Reforged, it's called, mm-hmm. on Kickstarter. And he wanted, you know, a very specific $63,318.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because he'd accurately costed up how much it would take to remaster Broken Sword and provide all these brilliant bonuses. He's up to at the moment, mm-hmm. with 25 days to go at the time of recording. He's up to 388,000.
Stop
it. No, actually, I should say $388,000.
Okay.
Which is how he would, he would say dollar three, wouldn't it? Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. That's how he would phrase it. Yeah. Almost 2,500 backers.
Wow. Congratulations.
He's popular,
Charles.
Isn't he?
He is popular. Let's see what we can do about that. All right, it's time for the reviews. I've only played one thing this week, Simon. It's not a video game. It's a card game.
Okay.
Yeah, it's the one that David McCarthy recommends to, that I think I mentioned on the show last week, the Push My Luck thing. Do you remember what it's called?
It's a diving game, isn't it?
It's a diving game. I need to find the thread with us and David and Jonathan. Where is it? Oh, this is terrible radio. Okay. Scroll up. It is called Deep Sea Adventure.
Okay.
And it comes in a small card-sized box. But inside the card-sized box are not cards, Simon. It's tokens and dice. And, you know, I was telling someone earlier, I feel completely naive when it comes to board and card games. You are definitely the One Life Left resident expert on this sort of stuff. Never played a Push My Luck game in my life before. Very rarely played things that involve dice, let alone your Bluetooth dice. Goodness me, you are many, many degrees ahead of me in this ecosystem. Anyway,
I loved the mention of the Bluetooth dice on Discord. Who was it who said that wanted them, but his wife wouldn't let
him? Exactly. You're living the dream.
Yes.
And she is entirely correct to not.
That was Fantata Bluetooth dice. He's very much the man my wife won't let me be. I'd be lying if I said if I wasn't jealous. Let's get married.
Yeah, so the game, very new structure for me. Never played anything like it, but I understand there must be millions of games out there, but you have to understand that I am exploring these through fresh eyes. You start by arranging tokens in a line. These tokens represent the treasure that you are going to pick up as a deep sea diver. So it's a big, long, curved trail of tokens all face down. And the longer you get, the further you get down this trail, the more, you know, valuable the treasure you're going to pick up is. So you roll your dice and you proceed along this trail. But every time you pick up a token, Simon, something happens. A, you remove, from now on, you remove a little point from an oxygen meter that's going down and down and down. And B, you can't move as far. So you remove one from the number that you're going to roll on your dice. So it's harder for you, but you get a bit tempted, don't you? And you think, oh, I'll pick up that one. And then suddenly you're stranded and it's too far to get home. What do you do? Do you leave some treasure behind? No, I can make it all. There's a twist though, Simon. All of the players share the same oxygen tank. Doesn't make narrative sense at all. Don't understand how that works. But in terms of gameplay, it's brilliant because, you know, I'm being quite cautious, trying to get further through the thing. Meanwhile, my five-year-old daughter lands on the token. It's like, I'm having that. I'm having that. Suddenly she's burning four tokens of our oxygen every turn, and it's a competitive game, so it is our oxygen, but also, you know, it's very much her oxygen and my oxygen separately. She's burning me. I'm stranded deep underground, undersea, sorry. She's still picking it up. I'll have five. She can't get anywhere because you can roll a maximum of six. It's almost going backwards. And yeah, it's really, really nice, clever dynamic. And it's the first time I've seen it games. It's also got a brilliant, the way the board then remixes on the next turn because you discard the treasure, other treasure bits that you inevitably don't get dropped to the bottom of the list. Really clever. Play three rounds. We've played one game so far. It was worrying reading the instructions because I found it hard to pass, but isn't that the same for every game? Played one game. I won. I was the only one who got one piece of treasure back and got there on the very last turn before the oxygen runs out, which to me is a sign of a brilliantly, beautifully balanced game. Heartily recommended. Looking forward to playing it again. 7 out of 10.
Sounds good. No, I'll definitely add it to the list. You should try Welcome to the Dungeon. It's a fantastic kid-friendly, small push your luck game.
Okay.
Very, very good. I, Steve, have been the opposite of you. I have been playing, and you this will surprise you. I've been playing a game called Banishers, Ghosts of New Eden. Now, doesn't that sound awful?
It sounds terrible.
I'm enjoying it. I'm enjoying it so much that Kate was in Germany last week. I started playing it while she was away, and I wanted to show her what I was playing. So I said, I started playing this game when she got back. I loaded up the YouTube trailer, which I hadn't seen. And sadly, it turned out it was using a sort of really John Lewis-y style version of the Pixies' Where Is My Mind? and she went, is this that? And I was like, oh, God, that's awful, isn't it? But yeah, it's an action RPG. Set around New England, you play a couple of ghost banishers, you're tasked with making some important choices, Steve, which is what's interesting me. And it felt very thematically similar to the some of the quests in The Witcher 3. And that's I think is why I'm enjoying it in inverted commas.
I mean, you do love an action RPG.
I do like an action RPG. Well, I had to say that the fighting in this is a bit rubbish. I've had to knock it down to easy. It's a bit shonky in places, but it does look great. But the stories themselves are really, they're good in the same way that, like, when you played the Bad Baron questline in The Witcher 3, you're like, oh my God. That's a bit what it's like. And then I've made an oath I need to stick to. It's gonna make me play as a bad person for the first time ever, Steve. 7 out of 10.
Fantastic. That's the end of the show. Gotta close it off. Thank you everybody for listening. Thank you, Simon. Thank you, Charles Bot. We will see you all next week. Until then, goodbye.